8:02 the time, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and today's edition of the Artist Corner is brought to you by the Sawdust Art Festival's Spring Fling. It's two weekends of great artists, starting March 26th and 27th, and then continuing April 2nd and 3rd. This morning, our guest was born and raised in Toronto, first of all. His work is influenced by his interaction with the everyday world. And when you see his stuff, I sent you to his website a little bit earlier. I hope you took a look at it. The interpretation and response to the common is unbelievable. His art is engaging. It's personal. It's relevant. And our guest in the Artist Corner this morning is David Krovblit. Thank you for coming in this morning, David.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me.
How are you today?
Very good.
I hope we're not crowding out your surfing or anything, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I do have the bus packed. It's right down there, and I'll be headed straight to the beach after this.
All right, can you still get good waves at 8:30 or 8:45?
Well, we'll see.
All right.
We've got some wind coming.
All right, I got you for a while, man. So yeah. Thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it. I saw the piece that you donated for the auction over at Laguna Art Museum. And happened to meet you there that night.
Yep.
And found, all right, now I'm interested. As I started looking into your stuff, your art seems like scenes and images we'd remember if we were dreaming. If we could remember our dreams,
sure.
That's what the art to me looks like.
Sure.
Do you dream these images and then bring them to life on canvas? How does this happen?
Usually they're not from my dreams. I have made images from dreams,
right.
Some of them. It happens that the image that's on the last surfboard I had made for me was an image from my dream.
All right.
I was awaking one morning, I was coming out of REM, and I saw this creature in my mind. It had the head of a hammerhead shark,
right.
And the body of an eagle. Well, actually it was the body of a falcon.
Okay.
But when I went and made the image, it was a hammerhead eagle.
That's
and I figured that must be my spirit animal,
right.
Hammerhead eagle. So what better image to put on my surfboard?
That's a pretty awesome spirit animal, yeah. Man. It really is.
Totally.
So as we look at your art, and hopefully the listeners are on your website, give them your website.
Yep. It's krovblit.com, my last name, krovblit.com.
So if they want to take a look at it right now while we're talking.
Yep. Or Instagram's a great place to see it too, because that's where you got all the process vids and the time-lapse vids and the day-to-day stuff and the most current and recent work.
Perfect.
As well.
Now, if I'm assembling a puzzle, first thing I do is I work on the borders first, and then I try and fill the center. As I look at your work, in your mind's eye, when you envision a project before you even do anything, before you put it on canvas, when you envision a project and its construction, do you see it like that, like a puzzle?
Yes. Design is a puzzle. Art is a puzzle. It starts out as a question. You're looking for some answer, but it's questions upon question. I do collage, so my work, I consider myself not only a curator of lost imagery, but a hunter. You know, I'm a hunter. The way that I search for things, I have an idea in my head. I want to create this image. And sometimes you put one thing next to the other and it changes the direction,
right.
It changes things. So the puzzle grows, it changes. And that's what makes it exciting for me. And it works with the way that I think. But it's not always a direct line from start to finish.
Right. Let's talk about the way you think for a second. You have a streak of humor that runs through your artwork.
Yep.
And it's almost Monty Python-esque.
Sure.
Tell me about growing up. Where does this come from? Where does that line of humor come from in your art, man? Were your parents funny?
I don't know that they were funny. Yeah, I guess you could say they had a sense of humor. I don't know
right.
that they were. My dad was a colorful character.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Okay.
He had his own way of doing things and he had his own crazy life. It was a trip growing up in my house for sure.
Great.
But I think what guided a lot of my work was seeing certain imagery at a young age. My mother was a big fan of Salvador Dali.
Okay.
In fact, she was in New York when she was a child and he was there. He gave them a tour through the gallery, a personal tour. And that affected her life.
Of course.
And so when I was about 11 or 12, she showed me a book of Salvador Dali.
Right.
And my mind just went poof.
Of course.
Exploded while looking at this stuff. And that is a major influence. I was a photographer, a commercial photographer for many years.
Right.
And I saw this one picture, that portrait of Salvador Dali. And it's a cat being thrown through the air and there's water being thrown at the cat and he's jumping, his easel's falling. Everything's in like just full animation.
Motion, total motion, everything.
And for my whole for my whole life, even before I was always trying to make that image.
Right.
And if you look at my photography, it's this very fun, big tableau type scenes where you have a million things happening. Like, where's Waldo?
Right.
And when I transitioned out of commercial photography into a full-time art career, that vibe and that flavor never left. That I guess we all have a way that we do things and a process and a way we see the world.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how you or what tools you use, you're still sort of doing the same, creating the same thing, just right. a different way. So that humor that I find, that I found, that I always tried to inject into my photography, into my commercial projects. I was always trying to push those projects to be as creative as possible, carried over into a free form, autonomous, you know, or full autonomy in my fine art.
Right. And so, yeah. And since you mentioned photographer, I guess I have the chicken or egg question for you now. Did your keen eye make you a great photographer and painter, or did those things focus that eye?
I don't know. I guess I just honed it
chicken or the egg, right?
Yeah. I think it just always, I've always been in a creative field or been creative. So I've just been honing those skills all these years.
Right.
You know?
So I want to go back for a second to the humor in through a lot of your work. And when I was a kid, I used to find the need to lighten up a dark moment.
Sure.
You know, whenever that is that something that you felt as a kid or feel now as an artist?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's when times are really tough, you need to have humor as your best weapon to keeping life light and not getting. I mean, the harder it gets, the more you have to have that.
Right.
In life, I think, we all go through tough times in life. Early or later or all the way through,
right?
Whatever your lot is, you end up in some situation. And yes, me and my sisters have used humor. What are you, my psychiatrist?
I should have you on a couch. I'm sorry, man. That's what this is. That's what we're talking about everything.
Yeah. No, that's true. Humor does help us to get through tough times for sure. And I think that maybe that's a good point. Maybe that's how it's ended up. So, part of my work.
Right. It's beautiful work. It really is. And when you donate a piece to a charity, let's say, to an auction, what goes into the thinking behind this is the perfect piece for this particular event?
Well, really it comes down to if I'm going to give something to somebody, make something.
Right.
Why aren't you going to just give your best work?
Right.
Just give your best work. Let the world see the best. Doesn't matter if you're selling it or giving it away for free.
Right.
Do your best, right?
Right.
Sometimes, yes. I mean, some people say, well, it's a charity. Let's give them something, right. You know, just something on hand. But I have a different directive. I want it to be, you know, the most current, the thing that I'm working on currently, where my mind is at, and to share the best thing that I think that I have.
Right. And that's what you did. That's what you did a couple of weeks ago, man. That was an outstanding piece.
Thank
it's
you.
Just an outstanding piece.
Yeah, it's a great series, Flower Brain.
Yeah. What, are you working on something that you can tell us about now? Are there things in your head that you haven't yet put on canvas that you're working on? What's in your head?
There's a bunch of different stuff going on right now. There's a bunch of commissions that I'm making. I'm working on, what's going on? So we just outfitted the hotel with some pieces. We're working on Hotel Laguna.
Excellent.
Which actually, by the way, is an incredible hotel.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
The owners called me to make some art for their permanent collection. And we've put a piece in the lobby that is on consignment. So we've had, we just put a new piece in this week, which is a 5x8. But the hotel itself, it's a beautiful spot with a great bar. And I'm not trying to plug the hotel.
I'm not trying to plug them.
Right.
They know how much we love them over there.
Yeah,
they're
in Laguna Beach. That's a place to go. You can check out the art while you're there. Right. But it's got a great beach, ocean vibe. They're revitalizing. I think that's sort of the center of the revitalization of Laguna Beach.
What is the 5x8 that's hanging there now?
So it's a flower brain.
Okay.
It's a butterfly brain. I'm using butterflies. And so the idea is for all these images, I've taken old pinup art.
Right.
Which a lot of people love pinup art, but as you look through pinup art, you can kind of see a common sort of theme of the objectification of women. And I mean, it's just as you look at it, you start to see, you can imagine, like, at the time, what was happening there in right. the minds of men and women. And I just wanted to take that. And the basic idea behind Flower Brain is really inner beauty manifests outer beauty.
Right.
And take something that had maybe a negative, negativity and flip the script. So just a simple message. But in doing that, I've created these beautiful visuals using old images that are repurposed. And that's sort of the, or not sort of, it is the basis for my art. I repackage what exists in the world to tell a new story. And in fact, sometimes I use...
You do retouching techniques and re...
And I augment and I right. retouch. And those pieces are colored, are hand-tinted with oils and pastels and acrylics. They're sealed with resin, but I use a lot of old botanical imagery within these, and actually across all my art, even the piece that I was showing you this morning.
Right. That you so thoughtfully gave to me. Thank you.
Sure. Yes. Thank you. So those old botanical images, those are some of the first documentation of flowers, butterflies. Scientists were artists at that time. They'd walk around the planet documenting what they saw for the first time. And some of these flowers you see are the very first instance of a colored flower printed in a book.
Right.
So it's cool to see this lost, as I said before, I'm a curator of lost imagery. I bring things back from time that may have never been seen again, of things of beauty or maybe not, but taking them and repackaging them to tell a new story.
Well, allow me as a fan, and I told you this was going to be a conversation from a new fan, because I this doesn't often happen,
yeah.
But I stand in front of your work, and I want to go see the one at Hotel Laguna here in just a couple of minutes, yeah. as soon as I'm off the air. Yeah. But I stand in front of your work like I did at Laguna Art Museum, like I am now, like I did when I checked you out, and it's thought evoking. You have to stand there and read the story of what's on canvas. I think that's magnificent that you're able to touch that, man.
Yeah, there are definitely concepts and ideas. There's a lot of allegory and symbolism within my art. Right. I like using theology or mythology to tell cautionary tales, story. A lot of them about consumerism, consumption. I have a lot of ideas about science fiction, about time travel, about I'm really onto this whole thing of man creating androids in his own image. Man becoming a god through technology,
right.
and then traveling to other planets to create life and landfills.
This is awesome.
Yeah, so there's a broad spectrum of stuff that I've been creating and working on. I have 4 series that I'm constantly evolving and building all the time. They never end.
Right.
Flower Brain's a new one, which is actually technically is growing and changing quickly. I've been doing these three-dimensional pieces. So some of them are three-dimensional. I have a scroll saw, so I'll cut wood at different depths.
Right.
And so the pieces are fully three-dimensional when they're finished. Things that are closer to the camera would be bigger and more relief. Things that are further away are smaller
right.
and less relief. And then I layer in resin and more pieces. But these new pieces I'm making are not three-dimensional. They're 3D, but it's more like looking into a fish tank. So I'll do a background layer, then I'll pour resin. I'll do another layer, I'll pour resin, like almost like an animation,
right.
the way they used to animate
right.
different layers of acetate. So by the time you finish, 5, 6, 7 layers of resin, you can see the shadows being cast by all the pieces floating in between these layers.
This is awesome.
It's like looking into a fish tank. So I'm working on a series where I want to really push that as far as I can.
That's excellent.
And the flower brain, I just did a version of one of the butterflies, and it came out incredible. It has gold leaf layered through it. It has pastel layered, and the pastel sort of melts when you put the resin over. So it's just like these little sort of, just like little bits of color floating inside. Really beautiful. So...
Beautifully described, by the way.
Oh,
beautifully described.
Oh, thank you.
Before I let you go, you're a relatively young man. Do you ever consider what your art might look like, what you might be thinking 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road? Is the artist different 30 years later?
Oh, I'm not that young. I just look young. It's the surfing. I have no clue.
Yeah.
We'll see where it's
one day at a time.
It's really art is the amazing part about art is the more you think about it, the deeper you are in it, the more ideas you have. You just always have more and more ideas. And I just love exploring. Right. I'm a what's around the corner sort of guy.
Straight up.
Half full, what's around the corner.
I will look forward to exploring your art for years to come. Give us your website again, please.
Krovblit.com, www.krovblit, K-R-O-V-B-L-I-T.com. And the Instagram is at Krovblit1, which is the actual, the place to see it, the most current day-to-day stuff, and the process vids, which help a lot.
And definitely go check out the 5x8 right now at Hotel Laguna.
Yeah, there's three pieces, actually. There's one in the main dining room and one in the sushi bar. And those pieces are beautiful to look at, too.
David Krovblit, thank you for stepping into the Artist Corner this morning.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to following you. 818, it's the Mornings with Ed Show.